Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Jingle bells and mistletoe, silent night and falling snow, but my wish list ain't the same. Listen close to what I claim. Cookies, milk under the tree, carolers singing merrily, but my heart's got one request. Keep me safe, it's my quest. All I want for Christmas time is some PPE that fits just fine. Wrap it up nice under the pine. Oh, so grateful, it's mine.
Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity, the highway to north, this is Safety Wars. Thursday, December 19th, 2004. How's everybody doing out there? So, just checking in on streamers here. And everything else that's going on here. Had some audio issues. I don't know why that is. A podcast, everything turned out right. The video cast, not none of that entertaining Christmas safety-oriented music. So I hope you're enjoying it. I know, and a little whimsical. Jay Allen does, and I admire that. He hits everything perfect. It's what a radio show. Not more. But I'm just saying, that's where his original expertise lied, was with radio. So everything is right on the money every time with him. I'm getting it. But anyway, I hope you're enjoying your Christmas season here. We are back to somewhat normal temperatures here in New York City and New York State. It was 51 degrees today. It was rather nice, rather than the 17 degrees last week. And this is how everybody gets sick, me included. So, I have a little cold here, and I've been getting a lot of sleep. And always remember, tell everybody on your team if you have a home remedy for like colds and stuff, that is not garbage, and don't throw it out. We'll leave it at that. Always helps. Now, wanted to start off real quick with my wife's assistant, one of her many assistants, Liz Spillane, who worked for her charity. Who enjoyed her retirement yesterday. She worked, get this, she started working for the organization my wife works with when she was 18 years old. All right? And you could do the math. She's been there almost 50 years, and she did not want to hit the 950 number, right? That big 50. So she retired a week before, basically a week before that. So she's on to hope. No, and I know she'll be successful in her next endeavor. So we wanted to wish her some luck on that. We had put together a presentation for her here. I was helping my wife the other night, and everything went real well. So last night, where was I? I was giving first aid CPR training to Weevlos. Yes, Weevlos. We were giving first aid CPR training to. So, yes, I do it for all. Last week, I was doing it for a security force at a university, and this week I'm doing it for Weevlos. So we'll do all comers. You can have that at 845-269-5772 or jim@safetywords.com if you want to drop me a line and your organization needs that training. So for next week, no, I hope to be on the air tomorrow, but next week we have two special programs for you. Christmas. I always wanted to put together a Christmas program, so we got put together not one, but two of them because of Safety Wars. I will not be doing political commentary per se tonight. When I do commentary, I had spoken to the over with my team here, and they said probably you should hold off till hour two. So we'll be like Jay Allen here, right, where he gives in the morning on Radio Big on, and you can get that on anything, on basically iHeart, I believe, TuneIn, and Indoor, Live 365. He endorsed 365 is something else, or Live 365, the app and Radio Big, and you get to hear him broadcast on there. So he does the first hour news, and the other 2 hours, music and commentary. Yes, he has a real radio station. He doesn't have to rely on royalty-free stuff like me, so, and some of the self-supplied stuff. A lot going on. So this week, hopefully, if you're a listener here, you brought to your safety professional, if you're in the construction industry, you brought to your safety professional's attention, or maybe you are the safety professional, and you use it as part of your meeting, the new PPE standard that goes into effect like the second week of January. So what is the deal with that, PPE, we covered it a couple of times here already, real in-depth, deep dive. You actually have to, the PPE has to be appropriate, has to fit appropriately. I shared that with at a safety meeting that one my company held this week. And now what happens is you find out some of the other stuff that goes on other projects. So on the one of the attendees says to me, and he's a shop steward, so he should know better, you would think. He says to me, Jim, I thought since this is a small company, we're exempt from OSHA. And I said, no. What there is what some record-keeping requirements, I'm not going to say what they are, because I know that they will be misinterpreted. Record-keeping requirements don't preclude you from keeping records, or at least submitting records. Maybe that's a better term. You still, no matter what size company you're in, you have to comply with OSHA regulations, or if you're in a state-managed system like California, you have to abide by whatever there is, right? There is no exemption. Just because you're a small business does not mean that you don't have to wear fall protection. You don't have to wear PPE. You don't have to have HAZCOM. You need to have it. And Over the last couple of years, OSHA has stopped, in my experience, taking your word for whether you are a quote-unquote independent contractor or an employee. They use the same things because for independent contractors, they're self-employed. OSHA doesn't cover them. So some companies get very slick, or at least they think they're slick. They say, oh, these are all independent contractors. Therefore, we don't have to worry about complying with OSHA. Nothing could be further from the truth. And as I say, do you tell them what time they show up in the morning? Yeah, well, they're not an independent contractor. They're an employee. OSHA uses similar things, right? Companies, and guess what? If you're not, so basically everybody is an employee, number one, unless you can prove otherwise. And number two is, how do you pay yourself? So being a small business owner, I pay myself like an employee. Well, guess what? At that point now, I am an employee and I have to comply with OSHA. I was listening to another podcast with an attorney. That's what they basically said on that. Even though you could probably get away with it, I wouldn't recommend trying that out with that. Forget I even said that, but you know what I'm saying. With that, yeah, I'm the owner. Right. Now you're into a gray area. And what a lot of men do is that they have their wives own the company or another female relative own the company, and they're actually the ones running the company. I know several companies that do that, because then all of a sudden they become women or minority-owned businesses, and they are able to bid a little bit more competitively on some projects for the government. But what's my thing? Obey the law. You don't have a problem. So we're going to go to our first commercial break. I have kind of a handle. So now, like I said, I have a cold and I got to handle that. And we'll go from there. Or we're going to talk about Rockland County tonight with the a report came out on a fire from a couple years ago. NIOSH completed their investigation, and they are going to NIOSH finish her investigation. So with that, and we're going to go over that. So I'm going to come back to you in a minute.
Mechanical birds above our heads, watching secrets and the streets we tread. Beeping lights and wings of chrome, guiding paths as we roam. In New Jersey skies they hover high, whispers carried by the night. Silent judges in the drone, leading us to the unknown. Eyes in the sky, they never sleep. Dreams and secrets they will keep.
trick soldiers in the sky. Tell me, drones, can you dream? Can you cry?
And that was Eyes in the Sky by Safety Warrior. They do all of our music here. Again, this is, Eyes in the Sky. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the New Jersey drones here. This was just off of USA Today a couple of hours ago. Drones deployed in New Jersey to search for missing radioactive material. That's the claim. And this was, so basically there was missing nuclear material in New Jersey. Believe me, this is a normal thing here. When you consider the number of sources out there, radioactive sources, and, let me add myself to the stream here. When you consider the number of radioactive sources out there, it's not so surprising that things would go missing, like a radioactive source. But as I point out, and I'm not going to be an alarmist here or a conspiracy theorist, it's been reported since the end of the Cold War. The first time I heard about it was around 97. I was in Atlantic City. I had been done doing Atlantic City things, and we were waiting for my father to get out of the casino. And we got some very good, we were on the roof of the parking deck, I think it was for the Taj Mahal, and we were listening to the radio, and we heard a general talk about missing nuclear bombs from the former Soviet Union and Ukraine, and every once in a while we hear about this coming up, so it's not a surprising thing. These claims have been going on forever. And what the thinking is that these things are pre-placed. During the Cold War, that was one of the things that the Soviet Union and us had things pre-placed, just waiting for a signal to blow up and to activate. You see these TV shows where the Soviets had agents over here and United States had agents over there living and embedded in the society. That actually happened. That's not a, that's no baloney there. That's Pravda. No drones used in search. So according to Karen Shinsky, a New Jersey DEP spokesperson, told USA Today that no aircraft were used to locate the missing material. Shinsky's agency is one responsible for overseeing the recovery and of any missing nuclear materials. The NRC Commission spokesperson Neil Sheehan told USA Today, citing a decades-long agreement between New Jersey and federal government covering the oversight of the substances. So National Nuclear Security Administration, the division of the DOE that manages nuclear security programs, has not used drones in any of its searches for nuclear or radioactive materials. Now, just because one government agency does it, does not do something or does something, doesn't mean another one does or doesn't do anything. So I believe the New Jersey DEP on this one, because I tell you what, Governor Murphy has been so PO'd over this whole situation that he's, I find it hard to believe that he would be okay okay with he would be okay with the situation here. No, I think if we were doing something, he would let us know on that one. So I'm going to read a story from yesterday, and this came out. The volunteer firefighter killed. This made the national news. This is a local report here, a local story here, but it made the national news. And just to give you a little background here, Jay Allen, before I was even, or when I first started with this program, back when it was like a once-a-week podcast, and then I got really into it, and now we have three nights a week, over 1 hour sometimes. They, he was reporting on a fire in Rockland County. I was listening to Rated R's safety show. I said, maybe that's what the smell is outside. And sure enough, yeah, a facility, the Evergreen Court, which is a long-term care center, caught on fire. So I'm reading from Low HUD from yesterday, and I am commenting on this, so this is fair use. Evergreen, Low HUD.com, Evergreen Court fire. Feds pull lessons from tragedy that killed Jared Lloyd and a resident. Federal safety probe on the 2021 Evergreen Adult Home fire in Spring Valley that killed a volunteer firefighter and resident offered some sharp criticisms of the massive response to the conflagration and also offered key recommendations to improve firefighter safety going forward. The deep dive by the CDC's Centers for Disease Control's National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health and similar reports help firefighters learn and improve, said Rockland County Fire Coroner Chris Keir, who I know. Just for complete disclosure here, right? He's a local. I'm a local here. But he added, the real-world emergencies, especially large and complex ones, rarely align with such scenarios. That's a fair statement. I spoke to a friend of the program who's a retired firefighter, actually a fire chief from a city that you've heard of, all right? A resort city today. We discussed this at length to make sure I had been reading this correctly on here. And what he said, it comes down to this. Number one is training. Number two, communication. And number three, the incident command system, which we've covered extensively here on the program. Let me double check that. Yeah, here you go. Yeah, communication. Oh, he got it different. I'm sorry, I got it wrong. Training, right? ICS training, accountability, and communication. With most of these, no, in his experience as 35 years as a firefighter, and retired chief, that's usually where this comes down to. As we pointed out during the Uvalde school shooting incident, there was a huge failure, according to government reports, of the ICS system, incident command system. After I read that report, I have approached training in the ICS system completely differently. So usually in a 40-hour HAZWOFR course, that's like a half an hour discussion. I've taken the course five times. It's a half an hour discussion. I make it a lot longer than that, and I give supplemental material out, and I encourage everyone to go to the Federal Emergency Management Agency Independent Study School there, and you can download the course and take it online. It's a good way, and it's free. So I would encourage that and all your other people there. If not, you could give me a call and I can do it with you. At Evergreen Court, so the deep dive said this. Chris Keir had said, the immediate priority was rescuing 100-plus residents. The best response to the disaster that night, he said, would have been involved having many more firefighters, police, and EMS on the scene from the start, which is neither feasible nor typical. The fire was first detected late in the evening of March 23rd, 2021, at the facility at in Spring Valley by the end of the hellacious thing, you know, and we're going to go into that here. The report's 67 pages long. The two people who started the fire was started by accident because there were Jewish residents there, and they were two rabbis had come to cleanse the facility's kitchens, a ritualistic cleanse, a process involved using a blowtorch. The fire alarm system hooked to the county's fire control center was placed into test mode for the ritual cleanings. So the fire, it was not on there. And according to the information I have, that when smoke was detected and a fire alarm pulled, the system was set to test mode and the alarm didn't transmit to the county's dispatch, which is right over here next to Boulder's Stadium at the Fire Academy. I know the facility well. First dispatch to the scene was at 12:53. At 1 a.m., Department 17 was on the scene and its chief assumed command, and it was going on without, I mean, it's a big freaking deal. So basically, a firefighter was left behind. Let's go right to the accident report. Let me share that. Right, I cannot share low HUD, but I can share the accident report here. So give me a second. And I am getting better. Yes, I am getting better with the other software here. And there's going to be a change coming up very shortly where we're going to use that more often. Volunteer firefighter killed at becoming trapped at an assisted living facility and two firefighters injured. On March, this is the executive summary. Let me make sure we have this here. Let me zoom in a little bit more. So the two people responsible for the fire were put on probation, and that has been extremely controversial here. With that, on March 23rd, 2021, a 35-year-old volunteer firefighter died after becoming trapped while rescuing occupants at a fire at an assisted living facility. Two other firefighters were injured during the fire ground operations. Fire Department 17 was dispatched to the assisted living facility at 053 hours with visible smoke showing. Chief 17-1 arrived on scene at 1 a.m. and assumed command. The Chief 17-1 requested Fire Department 6 to respond with Tower 6-75 at approximately 101 hours. An occupant of room 306 called 911 stating he was trapped in his room and needed to be rescued. Tanker 17 arrived on scene at 1:12, and Tanker 17's officers split his crew between rescue and firefighting. The crew entered the lobby. Entered through the lobby. The crew went into the hallway that led to the kitchen area, which was the older or original section of the facility. They noticed the carpet was wet as they entered the kitchen area. They found no victims and went back down the hallway. The first floor was clear of occupants. Tanker 17D, the deceased firefighter, and Tanker 17E were ordered to the second floor and made several rescues, requiring at least two air cylinder changes. The firefighters were on air going through the second floor as occupants were being brought down to lobby, then outside. Tanker 17E then went to the second floor and found a victim, which he got down the lobby and outside with another firefighter. Tanker 17E went back to the second floor and brought down another victim down to the lobby, and it goes on and on. All right. The smoke had, and I'm going to skip ahead here, otherwise we're not going to get this done by the top of the hour. The firefighters went into the hallway and moved towards the fire escape on the side of Bravo, on side Bravo. Between 1:27 and 1:45, the end of shift time indicator alarms began to sound, starting with Assistant Chief 24-2, who left via the internal stairwell to get a new cylinder. The Captain 12 moved towards the exterior fire escape. This is very detailed. Going on, Tanker 17, at the same time, Tanker 17D called May Day from 306, indicating he was out of air. The time was approximately 146 hours. Evacuation tones were sounded. Tanker 17E did not call a mayday due to the Tanker 17D's mayday. A firefighter assist and search team, FAST team, got Tanker 17E outside, with command receiving notification later on that Tanker E was not the mayday. The civilian victim was taken outside at 159. Another FAST tried to re-enter the third floor to find Tanker 17D. Due to the fire conditions, they were unable to enter the structure, which collapsed minutes later. At 2:17 hours, command changed the strategy to defensive operations. The incident action plan was to knock down the fire from exterior locations. Defensive operations were continued until a command declared the fire under control at 1000 hours. At 2350 hours, Tanker 17D was located and pronounced deceased. It was removed from the structure. Pronounced deceased at 020 hours on March 24th. So this is a considerable amount of time later, right? When did this start? On the 23rd. So this is a little bit over 24, almost 24 hours later. And all fire departments cleared the scene at 1607 hours on March 24th. What were the contributing factors, according to the report? Cultural cleansing ceremony conducted in the dairy kitchen. So what apparently happened was there was a fire started and burned for 90 minutes. Building fire alarm system was not on, was offline to the county dispatcher center. Lack of a fire sprinkler system throughout the facility, because we had things built at different times. Lack of enforcement of fire and building safety codes. That was a very controversial thing here with things. Why were things not enforced? There's still some questions on that. Lack of available water supply for the sprinkler system and fire suppression. Lack of pre-incident planning. Lack of crew integrity. I don't think that they mean that they were bad people. I mean that we'll find out what they mean by that. That's not what that means, right? Inadequate personnel accountability system. Inadequate tactical and task level management. A lack of command safety and mayday management. And inadequate FAST operations. As we, again, I'm not a firefighter. I'm just reading a report, and I know firefighters. Fire departments should develop a pre-incident plan for high-risk occupancies, including low-frequency, high-risk scenarios, such as assisted living facilities as supported by national standards. Now, my question is this. If you are in the health and safety field, risk manager, or something at these facilities to fulfill this role, this is a checklist for you. Is there a pre-incident plan? At your facility, is there a plan? Is there an emergency action plan here in place? Ensure that company officers and firefighters maintain crew integrity when operating in the hazard zone. I guess that means stay together. Use a functional personal accountability system requiring a designated accountability officer or resource status officer. Ensure that the ICS system, general staff functions, are expanded during Type 4 incidents where they extend to multiple operational periods. Establish divisions and groups to provide an effective incident management organizational framework for the expansion of the incident action plan. Incorporate the principles of command safety into the incident management system during the initial assumption of command. Ensure a rapid intervention crew, RIC, or firefighter assistance search team, FAST, is dedicated, assigned, and in place before the interior firefighting operations begin and throughout the incident. Ensure that all firefighters and fire officers are trained in fire ground survival procedures and mayday operations. Provide a mayday tactical worksheet for incident commanders in the event of a mayday. Ensure that all members engaged in emergency operations receive annual proficiency training and evaluation on fire ground operations, including live fire training, and ensure adequate incident scene rehabilitation is established in accordance with NFPA 1584, standard on rehabilitation process for members during emergency operations and training operations. Have standard operating procedure, SOP, / standard operating guidelines, SOG, to ensure that water supply is established during initial fire ground operations, particularly in areas with limited water pressure, limited hydrants, or no hydrants. Consider maintaining resources and protocols to address occupational exposure to potentially traumatic events for their members, right? Psychological safety. Additionally, governing municipalities should ensure that when the applicable fire code is not enforced by the fire department, the delegated authority shares information with the fire department, which may affect the operations. Ensure the water or agency or authority responsible for municipal water supply shares information on hydrant testing and flow capabilities, the local fire department, and have an operational procedure when cultural cleansing ceremonies with live fire are performed inside a facility or structure, and ensure that facilities have operational procedures and the facility's fire alarm system cannot transmit alarm to a designated fire alarm monitoring service. Often how we handle this on our construction sites when we have to have this is that we have fire watches when we have similar situations here, because things are being installed, things and everything else. You know, they have fire watches, a fire hot work permit procedure also. The other thing is, my opinion, one man's opinion, with these inspectors, if they're not doing their job, get rid of sovereign immunity. Real simple. Going on. Now, this is one of the things in all of these government reports I'm noticing. This summary, as well as the conclusions and recommendations by NIOSH, should not be used for purpose of litigation or the adjudication of any claim. Then why are you doing them, right? I'm sorry. You know, they're doing it to save lives. I get it, but going on. Here, one thing I did not see that in there was that it was done at night, and at night everything's harder to do. We know that. And this gives you the whole compromising, right? Here, training requirements for the firefighters. Volunteer firefighter killed after becoming trapped, right? Lieutenant, what? Basically, this is the org chart, and basically is what you're looking here and what the training requirements are. And you see right here, right? IS, Independent Study 100, C, Introduction to the Incident Command System, an introduction to IS 700.B, an introduction to the National Incident Management System, SCBA conference course. Hold on. Pardon me. There. Firefighter survival and bailout. And standard firefighter professional qualifications and basic first aid. Hazmat awareness. So you have there and everything here, right? Regardless of position, every member is required to take a 10-hour annual Occupational Safety and Health Administration refresher training course consisting of 10 topics: general hazard recognition, fire station safety, response safety, fire safety, protective clothing, SCBA, tools and equipment safety, recent developments in fire safety, sexual, and you got to have this one, sexual harassment and violence, and bloodborne pathogens. Why are they including sexual harassment in OSHA training? It should be done, don't get me wrong, but why are they doing that? That should be more of an HR thing. Maybe, hey, you have everybody together, you go through that, but what I'm finding out is that people don't realize that there's such a thing as sexual harassment. They don't realize that. They still think it's okay, especially for some government agencies out there that I hear horror stories about. So the next part of the report, and we are on page 8, and we're talking about the resume, basically, the equipment here. We're moving on to page 9. All right, some photos, building construction. And this is described as an assisted living facility. At the time of the fire, the assisted living facility had 4 staff members on duty who cared for 113 occupants. Per facility protocol, some occupants were sedated by medication overnight. The original facility buildings were built in early 1920s as a local hotel and resort. If you remember the old, right, this whole area was resorts. Most of our town, most of this town, New City, was owned by the Zucker family of paramount notoriety. Multiple additions and renovations, and also my aunt, great aunt's employer, by the way, she worked for them. Multiple additions and renovations were undertaken at the facility with various building construction materials used. However, records of these renovations, original building construction were limited or non-existent. So it includes the overall plot plan. The original set of building were wood frame, type V or type 5, Roman numeral 5 building construction. And here's some photos of before the fire. Right, aerial photograph. This is a diagram of the structure. So, and here you have, and you know, part of the reason why we're going through this is to show you how to do an accident investigation. It's part of this. With this, you try to set up a timeline. Cultural cleansing ceremony occurred in the dairy kitchen of the assisted living facility. Fire alarm was set in test mode at 1712 hours. Smoke and fire in the kitchen activate the assisted living facility's fire alarm system. Also, an alarm pulse station was pulled. The fire alarm system was offline. Alarm was not transmitted to control. And that one was at 043. So this happened. The ceremony was at 1700 to 2300 hours. I don't know if that's a a reasonable amount of time for that or not, but that's how long they have it in the timeline. Very important. March 23rd, right? Now we're in, so that was March 22nd. March 23rd, so we're looking at an hour and 43 minutes later, the alarm was pulled. And, you know, the fire alarm system was offline. At 048, the sprinkler system on the first floor and dairy kitchen activated, melted, and flexible ceiling tiles started falling to the ground on the first floor hallway next to the kitchen. Assisted living facility staff began to evacuate operations and called 911, reporting a fire at in the facility. And the village, and then more responders here, 0100. So they responded pretty quickly here, 12 minutes. They had people there, man. 055, people were there, starting to help with the evacuation there. And then going on with the 105, additional 105 a.m., that is, additional EMS units responded. And command request and 4 additional fire responded. Now, way I would have done this a little bit differently, and there's nothing wrong with the way they did this. All right, nothing wrong with this. And maybe they did it, and it's in the notes. I probably would have gotten to every person there, not for assigning blame or anything, but I probably would have seen what people were doing throughout the day, right? Because this is a volunteer department. I'm not insulting anybody here. I'm talking human beings here. We're dealing with human beings. The fire what happened beforehand? Well, put this into a little bit more context on here. How was their day? Are these volunteer firefighters exhausted by the time they get here? It's the middle of the night. With that, you know, with that. And it goes through the whole thing here. What exactly happened down on the timeline. Again, this is why I tell people when there is a emergency, look at your watch here, right? And going on with, through the whole timeline. Investigation here, and they had the here, right? 043 hours, smoke and fire activated the fire alarm system at an assisted living facility. No automatic notification was made, right? So this is something that you have to have, and I'm going to note that in any safety plan I put out, right, was with this. We're going to include some of this information, like if you put this system to test, make sure you follow procedures, or I'm going to ask for procedures. What do we do when we go into that test mode? So let's go on through. It's at 8:46. It's 46 minutes after the hour. So we have pictures of the scene of the fire from the outside. My question is this. Who's the one taking all these photos? I mean, do they have a person just assigned this? Is they have a person here, Kenneth Flynn. Was he a bystander, or is the firefighters, they have a on-scene photographer? I mean, that. I mean, in a large enough department, I'm sure that might be it on there. Or people who are just there as support personnel, are they taking pictures? I know the fire company north of us here in northern Rockland, Garnerville, that area, they actually have the spouses go out with the firefighters, and they work in a support role there. Most of them were on the community emergency response team with me, where they were working on a support role, helping things out. All right. Okay, so here it is. This is the cleansing ceremony. In the evening of March 22nd, the individuals use a propane torch and hot charcoal between 2100 and 2300 hours. These items are used to heat metal chicken appliances such as a sink, griddle, and pot warmer. The heat from the torch was then transferred from the apart appliances into the wall, causing fire in building materials. Fire extended up the wall and behind the appliances into the ceiling and roof of the dairy kitchen above the sprinkler system. So these are the contributing factors here. We already went through this. Cause of death from the tanker 17D was smoke and fire inhalation injuries and burns all over the entire body. So recommendation, develop a pre-incident plan on that. So again, especially in the OSHA regulations, they require for certain regulations like permit required confined space entry, 29 CFR 1910-146 and 1926-1200+, right? That's the beginning, and it goes on. And also the maritime shipyard regulations require a pre-plan by firefighters. All right. If you're a safety person, I recommend you break this out, NFPA 1660 2024. Do that with your facility. Again, January is usually a slow time of year. Probably a good thing to, for a safety person, probably a good thing on that, with that, get with the fire department with that. By the way, bring this report to your fire department. Say, look, we heard this guy on the air, on Safety FM, Safety Wars, also on podcasts and on video casts, and he went over this report pretty well. And with this, and you know, he said maybe we should try to do this with you. Guess what? The fire department is going to love you. I have never heard of a fire department say, "No, we don't need more information on how to fight a fire." I've never heard that, right? More information makes us smarter. And what are you going to look at? How the building is made and anything in there. And hazardous chemicals, high voltage equipment, Siamese connection, all of that stuff. Just develop a plan with it. All right? And NFEs, no, they have many, many different things here, right? Let's go on down. Recommendation number two, ensure that company officers and firefighters maintain crew integrity. At this incident, firefighters from multiple fire departments entered the structure to conduct searches and rescue victims. When search crews of two firefighters would find a victim, one of the firefighters exited the structure with the victim while the other firefighter remained in the structure. The remaining firefighter then joined firefighters from other search and rescue things. I guess it's like the buddy system, right? Examples of, quote, at NFPA 1550, where assigned as a company, members shall be responsible to remain under the supervision of their assigned company officer. As examples of unique factors and breakdowns in crew integrity specific to this incident include an accountability tax system was in place on only some of the apparatus. Search new crews of two firefighters found a victim. One of the firefighters exited the structure with the victim while the other firefighter remained in the structure to continue his search. The remaining firefighter linked up with firefighters, other search and rescue crews. Again, difficult to maintain accountability based on what I'm reading here. Again, I'm not a firefighter. I'm just reading things here. Right, and an accountability system. Use functional personal accountability system requiring a designated accountability officer or rescue status officer. Again, this goes back to the incident command system here, ICS, having people in charge of things. And they mentioned here with worksheets and boards and all this other stuff. During a fire, I'm dealt with hazmat emergencies through most of my career. I don't think that you're going to be looking for checklists. Well, it is. You're going to be worried about fighting a fire, especially if it's at night, and especially if you don't have enough people to cover the activity here. Recommendation number four, ensure the ICS general staff functions are expanded during type 4 incidents. This incident, the initial time of the alarm was 053 hours and concluded at 1607 hours on March 24th. The incident length was more than 40 hours, extending into multiple operational periods. When this occurs, the IC, incident commander, must consider how to maintain fire ground operations and support firefighters' safety and health. Type 4 incidents seldom extend beyond one or two operational periods. When an incident is going to extend another operational period or is going to multiple alarms, the incident commander should recognize the need for assistance, which includes those components of the ICS involved with information management that support the incident commander. One key to effective incident management is building a properly sized incident organization and support staff. It goes on and on with that. What your roles are, and you could go in there. The roles and responsibility planning chief include, and they have NFPA 1515-2024. With that, again, if you are a trainer, you may be worth it getting a copy of that thing. That gives us a very good, right? Next recommendation, because we're coming up to the top of the hour. Recommendation number five, establish divisions and groups to write an effective incident management organizational framework for the expansion of the IAP. And volunteer firefighter kill. Well, sorry, that's at the top of every page. And there is one more on here. All comes down to incident command. Pick up a copy of this report. Here, recommendation number seven, make sure you're organized before you go into the interior firefighting operations. Now, number 10, ensure all members engage in emergency operations, receive annual proficiency training on fireground procedures, ensure adequate incident scene rehabilitation is established in accordance with NFPA 1584. Again, one of the things is with this, right, is psychological safety, health and safety, no physical health and safety. It is important to monitor the physical and mental condition of members as part of the overall assessment. This ensures a firefighter's health does not deteriorate to the point that it affects safety of other firefighters. And rehab sites, right? What do they have? Space for physical rest. Allow members to safely remove turnout gear. Protects the prevailing environmental condition with a cool shaded area during hot weather and dry area and warm area during cold weather. Free of CO and exhaust. Are large enough to accommodate multiple crews. Can be easily assessed by emergency medical services. And requires crews to sign a rehab to turn portable radios off. This is an interesting one. Or have radio and thermal imager portable batteries recharge or exchange. Right, hygiene, facilities, restrooms, again, for long-term things. So it's physical, mental, right? The whole thing. Consider maintaining resources and protocols to address occupational exposure to potentially traumatic events for their members. According to interviews conducted by NIOSH investigators, many of the responding firefighters refused to leave the incident scene when requested to clear by incident command. And going on. Now, I'm going to say, you know, you could go in here. No, you had any communications from code officers. And no, this is a very extensive report, 71 pages. What I'm going to say is this. It's all about preparation ahead of time. We talk about that Jens Rasmussen work modes. You're never going to get to the skills mode on it with low attention span, high familiarity. You're always going to have be somewhere in the rules area. There's going to be mistakes made, but that doesn't mean that you cannot go out there and try and do the practice, do the training and everything else, which apparently they did. I mean, you know, I'm not assigning blame to anybody. I mean, these are our heroes here in our communities, real heroes. But again, training, muscle memory, things of that nature. The thing is, you're not going to be breaking out a manual, right? You're not going to be breaking out a manual with this stuff during the firefighting. So I'm going to tell you this. That's where I'm going to be. You know, concentrate on the training. Not so much to pay for it. Get the training. Get the practice. Support these people in your community, in our communities. They are the heroes. For Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel, and we are going to have our outro and then our patriotic music and some Christmas music if you're on the podcast.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen. We'll be right back.
bells ring out so clear. Safety Claus is coming near. With a bag of hard hats bright, he brings peace to every sight. Checks the harness, checks the gear, spreads the cheer without the fear. Guide the workers through the night, makes their task a pure delight. Safety Claus, Safety Claus, brings us peace without a pause. Safety boots and signs so dear, keeps us safe throughout the year. Nails the rules upon the wall, safety first for one and all. Holds the ladder steady straight, never lets us tempt our fate. Deck the halls with bright vest green, caution cones a glowing scene. Through the factory to the field, Safety Claus the worker shield. Safety Claus, Safety Claus, brings us peace without a pause. Safety tied boots and signs so dear, keeps us safe throughout the year. The halls with bright vest green, caution cones a glowing scene. Through the factory to the field, Safety Claus the worker's shield. Safety Claus, Safety Claus, brings us peace without a pause. Safety tied boots and signs so dear, keeps us safe throughout the year.
with present cheer. N95 filtering face piece respirators bring us near. Santa sleigh's work is done, breathing safe for everyone. Jingle bells, safety cells, regulations in the mind, Christmas safe and so refined. Frosty windows with a view, regulations see us through. 29 CR wine in tins, delight guiding us through winter's night. Testing respirators, they fit right.
Jingle bells and mistletoe, silent night and falling snow. But my wish list ain't the same. Listen close to what I claim. Cookies, milk under the tree, carolers singing merrily. But my heart's got one request, keep me safe, it's my quest. All I want for Christmas time is some PPE that fits just fine. Wrap it up nice under the pine. Oh, so grateful, it's my. Santa, don't bring toys this year. Give me gear to wear out here. Masks and gloves in every pack. Don't let germs come sneaking back. All I want for Christmas time is some PPE that fits just fine. Wrap it up nice under the pine. Oh, so grateful, it's mine, oh mine. Skip the tinsel and the lights. Deck my halls with healthy rites. Stockings full of health and glee. That's the Christmas gift for me. Cookies, milk under the tree, carolers singing merrily. But my heart's got one request, keep me safe, it's my quest. All I want for Christmas time is some PPE that fits just fine. Wrap it up nice under the pine. Oh, so grateful, it's mine, all mine. All I want for Christmas time is some PPE that fits just fine. Wrap it up nice under the pine. Oh, so grateful, it's mine, all mine. Skip the tinsel and the lights. Deck my halls with healthy rites. Stockings full of health and glee. That's the Christmas gift for me.